And it's KVC Arts Now on KVCR Arts and Entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming, welcoming back Eva Mikhailovna, not a stranger to this show and someone who was the focus of the 300th KVC Arts, and now on this program, the 600th episode.
The thought of conclusions and ends.
Eva, thank you. It means so much to have you on for this. Truly a treat and incredible for me personally.
Thank you for having me. This is such a treat for me, too, to be number 600.
I wish people could see this, but you could hear the smile in that. Before we continue, please share with us your perspective on KVC Arts, how you ended up here the first time, how it continued. And I'm just going to say I really, really appreciate the friendship that developed and stays to this day that came from all that. Yeah,
Me too. Talk
about how the early days through today, your side of it, I suppose.
Me too. My first time hearing the show was Sean Longstreet.
Mm.
And I loved the flow of the show. That was my favorite part. The way you dissect the music, just the flow of the show is so peaceful and informative in the most in-depth way possible.
Nice.
And so I was thinking, I want to be on this show because I want to dissect my own music the way David Fleming dissects other people's music. So I reached out. I think I sent you a CD in the mail.
Yeah.
Then we did our first interview together. And that was my first time really analyzing my songs the way that we did. So for me, it was more than just getting my music on radio and broadcasting it to a bunch of people. For me, it was really a chance to look at myself and what I'm writing and what I'm making and see what works for me, what doesn't, what's true to myself, what's not. And ever since then, every time I release an album, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I need to go to David. He needs to hear my album. Even if it's not on radio, he needs to hear it. I mean, we need to talk about it. So I'm really excited to be here for number 600.
There have been a couple of cases where you've sent me the stuff, like here's the album that is going to be coming out, and I'm thinking about this versus that, and so it's really, I've gotten a nice behind the scenes, not only just a behind the scenes look at it, but I felt a part of it at times as well. Now, let me see, I've had you on KVC Arts to talk about each of your releases, though the first one was after the fact, still a CD that I love playing, Letters from the Moon. Then for the 300th KVC Arts, in addition to the albums previously, I believe I approached that one as if just somebody Googled you and then just started going YouTubing and just seeing the different busts. And I'm trying to think of some of the other videos which are new at the time, but really it was as if you did a search for Eva Mikhailovna and here's what you find. So now let's talk about a recent single, very recent.
Did those numbers get inside your head? Did you hide the fortune in your bed? I kinda like the way you're shining, brighter than the way you're smiling. Can you breathe in your perfect world? Can you see plastic girl? It's a place where faults can't find you and confront the things behind you. I'm screaming from the top of a building cause I'm happy. I'm happy now. I'm screaming from this pain that I'm feeling cause I'm happy. I'm happy.
From the Top of a Building. This is a very recent tune, very recently released, a Beach Boys inspired tune, specifically God Only Knows. And so, with me knowing that, you know, I was trying to sing God Only Knows over From the Top of a Building. And of course, it didn't work out. Okay, so. But this seems more inspired by God Only Knows in that it's a declaration of your feelings. I'm just trying to decide if From the Top of a Building, or God Only Knows for that matter, are just joyful thoughts or actually words that you would and will say to somebody. There's the question there. Which one is that?
Well, for me, it was inspired by God Only Knows. Not the lyrics so much, but mostly the feel and the elements I kind of stole from the Beach Boys, like the panning of the vocals, one ear here, one ear here, and then the sleigh bells and the wood block. That is kind of the feel I was going for, because it's my favorite song of all time, God Only Knows, and I would love for every single song I write to sound like that, but obviously I can't do that. But yeah, it was very much inspired by the Beach Boys and that instrumentation.
It's really, really wonderful, and we'll address parts of it, because it's not only just a lovely, lovely song, but there's an incredibly sweet lyric video to accompany it. So what's happening is you're singing into a phone, and it could still be you imagining speaking to someone, saying these words. But then there's even the portions in the video where it's just a bit of instrumental, or it's just between lyrics. You're holding the phone to your ear, and it's still left open as to whether are you actually speaking to somebody. At this point, are you listening to what they're saying, or are you just sort of feeling warm, embracing the phone as if you're speaking to a loved one, just taking this joyful, satisfying moment. I'm trying to figure out which way it is. Have you decided? Are you actually speaking to somebody when you say these lyrics?
I was wondering, that video I actually filmed on my own, because my whole goal for the video and for everything about this song and my next 10 songs is I want to do everything myself. That way I just get it done. I don't have to wait for anyone, and I don't have to worry about, if I do something wrong, I will be blamed for it. I won't have to get mad at someone else. So I filmed it myself. I just propped it up on, I think, a desk, and then I laid on the floor and I just sang into the phone. And I was imagining, I didn't have a clear vision yet. And that's one of the reasons I like doing things myself, is because sometimes the idea comes to me as I'm already doing it. I just try to get started on it, and then the idea hits. And so during the parts where there was instrumentals, it hit me, oh, what do I do here? And then I thought, oh, I listened to hear what they're saying back on the phone. And no one will ever know what they said, but at least I'm holding the phone and listening for them.
So you have actually decided. It could be taken either way. This is a joyful moment, or this is an actual conversation. I love that, even though you just said what it is, I don't know, I'm still going to go either way on it. And it's still fun and sweet either way.
Thank you.
Oh, of course. Now, and by the way, I know that I'm asking about all these very specific moments and the inspiration behind it, fully aware that some of it might have just turned out that way. Oh, you looked into the light because it was a dream sequence. No, I just happened to look that way. The camera caught it, okay? Oh, I remember this was, I forget what song this was, and I have this written down somewhere. I believe it was on our first interview. I asked you about a song, and what was the meaning behind it, or the word, inspiration behind it, or whatever. And you didn't have a meaning behind it, or you didn't have an inspiration behind it, but you told me something anyway. You came up with one on the spot for the interview. And then from then on out, you kind of knew that I was going to be asking about that kind of thing. Do you remember what song that was by chance?
I actually do, and it was Thieves. And you asked me what it meant, and I had no idea. But, as I get older, I'm realizing a lot of things about myself. And one of those things is that when I was younger, when I would write songs, I didn't want to be too specific in my songs, so I would use all these metaphors to hide what I was truly feeling. And I was using songwriting as a way to release certain negative emotions or whatever I was going through. So that song, when I'm way older, I finally understand what I was writing about.
Oh, wow.
I finally get it now, because now I understand the younger version of myself. So as I'm analyzing my own lyrics, I'm like, oh, that's what I was going through, and that's what I was trying to convey, but in like a metaphor term.
Oh, totally so, cool.
Yeah, so nowadays when I write songs, they're a lot more clear. The lyrics are a little bit more obvious because I'm not so scared to share my feelings anymore. Mm. But back then, I was really afraid to share how it truly felt.
Nice. I will often ask people about a song if it's written specifically about a person or written about a specific place, or if it's more like written about the general notion of, you know, whatever it is. So, okay, back to From the Top of the Building, there's a few things about this. You mentioned Bessie the Cow, I believe. This is what, starring Bessie the Cow?
Oh, yeah. The cow on the floor.
Yeah, this is a cowhide rug. Now, no Bessies were actually harmed in the making of this video.
No, they weren't.
That is From the Top of a Building. And that's out there now. You just have to search Eva and then, Eva Mikhailovna. Or can you just find it, Eva, from the top of a building?
I'm pretty sure it might come up.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah, Eva from the top of a building.
Okay. Is this part of what's going to eventually stack up to be a whole album? Are there others that are now recorded that we just have to wait another 3 to 6 weeks?
Yes.
That sounds like a late night TV, or 4 to 6 weeks later, it'll be there. You know,
yeah,
kind of thing.
That's exactly what's happening. The next song is already recorded and waiting to come out. The reason I did this way is because it's been so long since I've released my own music, and I was just so scared of doing something wrong, and the business part of it is so confusing to me. So I thought, if I just write a quick song and record it myself and do everything myself and just release it, this is like a test for me. And that way I don't have to attach it to my band, Eva and the Vagabond Tales. I'm just attaching it to my name, just in case if it does go wrong.
Okay, yeah.
It's like a separate thing. Plus, these songs are more influenced by like 60s, 50s kind of pop music, specifically the Beach Boys.
Okay.
I love the Beach Boys. So I'm going to be releasing a whole album of just songs that I just recorded at home by myself.
And do you have an album release date or just maybe a general target that you want to shoot for these?
I don't, but I'm hoping by next September, I'm hoping to do one per month till next year.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, well, this will be just a slow tease and really just a real treat. It'll be something the rest of the year we can look forward to.
Yeah.
There's something that I encountered thanks to Adam, who does some work here, and he was checking out your music. And he found something called Oldies in a Dream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he played this for me, and I was like, oh, hey now. I wonder if Eva knows these people have done this. They've taken a lot of her best music, and there's crickets and tree frogs and stuff. It's like an ambient, you know, you're at the Walden Books, press now for a demonstration, the sounds of nature kind of thing.
Yeah.
But this wasn't somebody else taking over your music. You did this. Adam shared with me that he found this on your website. Tell us what this is.
Well, it's not an original idea, although I'm using my original music for it. Back in 2023, there was this popular thing, the song Heartaches. The heartaches, heartaches, okay. My love and you. And somebody made it sound like it was coming from a different room, like from a faraway place. I'm not sure exactly the details, but I think it was because they were trying to show what somebody with dementia might be going through, the different stages.
Oh.
I was so fascinated with the idea that, oh, something is coming from a different room. And the algorithm led me to Nemo's Dreamscapes, which is a special thing on YouTube. He draws these beautiful ambient backgrounds, and he takes old songs, really, really old songs, EQs them to make them sound like they're coming from a different room. And then he adds ambient sounds like crickets. So there's different themes. There's like a rainy day in the wintertime with oldies playing in another room, or like summer sprinkler system or something. And so as I would listen to these, I was thinking, you know what? This is kind of what my music sounds like, because I had a lot of ambient sounds in my songs.
Sure.
In my first album. And so in 2023, I made like a little teaser of what I'm going to be doing with my songs. And I started drawing different backgrounds, but it never really came out the way I wanted it to. And I was too busy. But then a couple months ago, I started drawing it again. Okay. And I finished one and I was like, okay, here it is. And I didn't know what to do with my songs that I never released, but they were too old and I didn't want to deal with them. So I was like, I'm just going to stick them in here and that's how they're going to be. They're going to be in my... There's a lot of channels that do the same type of thing now, but Nemo's Dreamscapes is one of my favorite ones. And there's a lot of channels that do the same thing, the ambiance, and I'm going to be doing that a lot with my music.
Oh,
too.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was just really cool when Adam showed me that. My first thought was somebody's taking her music. They're trying to do that. Does she know? She needs to know about this. Okay, she does know because she did it. Okay, so.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Eva Mikhailovna. In 2019, Eva and I devoted about an hour talking about her release, Uncharted Ocean. Now another look at the album, but a different sound to the album. Another one, now this is something that I'm really excited about, the re-release of Uncharted Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
The last time Eva was in, it was for the 300th KVC Arts, but I believe it was the time before that that we were speaking about Uncharted Ocean 2019. I'm really excited about it because there were tunes which many of us knew and loved on this album. But then, we're given a different treatment on this release, and I need to say that I'm not speaking in a derogatory fashion. Folks that were responsible for this, they took care of so many wonderful things here. I'm just talking about that there were indeed different textures and processing at times given to some of these tunes, enough that they had a different feel, but it's still an excellent feel and a wonderful sound. Is it going to be a matter of re-recording Uncharted Ocean? Or are you just going back to the versions of the songs which existed before going to the producer who had not really experienced your music as it's generally presented?
I am going to just release what I intended to release before we started recording with the producer. The whole reason I even got involved with a producer to begin with is because I felt like I needed to go to the next level. I was recording at home, I was playing local shows, I was doing everything myself. I was like sewing my CD cases. So it was just super, super underground as you can get. And it was suggested to me to go to a producer because they will kind of elevate your sound and push you to the next level, which it did because I finally had good sounding music to share with booking agents or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't really represent what I wanted to show the world with my music.
Mm-hmm.
So I came to the producer with an album that I thought was finished. But what he ended up doing was taking the best songs from that album, as well as songs that had already been released.
Right.
And he said, let's make an album with your best songs, just something that you could use to send to labels or just something high quality sounding. And we did that, and that goal was accomplished. But the songs that didn't make it onto that album, which were supposed to be part of the original Uncharted Ocean, they never made it on. So what I'm doing now is I'm just going to release the album as I intended, along with the songs that never made it on.
As you intended.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain flow, and I know that you do this, and this is something that I appreciate. I rail against this every time it comes up, but in the day of digital downloads, people don't have to listen to an album. I say have to, like it's an arduous task of something. You know, but you can just pick, oh, I like tracks 3, 6, and 9, and that's what you'll download, and that's all you'll ever hear. But when you do that, yeah, you'll enjoy the tunes. You won't get tired of them. If it's Eva's music, you will love it, okay? But you will also miss the thought on why Eva would have started with Demure and followed with Please Keep Me and the flow that goes on with this.
Yeah.
And so people miss that. And so that's another reason why I'm excited about the re-release. And again, what came out here, it was a wonderful sound, but I am anxious to get back to the sound that we heard when you were playing at whatever the Vault or Mission Tobacco Lounge.
Yeah.
And this is not an official endorsement, just names that I'm thinking of off the top of my head, because I used to enjoy seeing Eva all over the place around here. So you're re-recording the tunes, and some tunes, you said, that did not end up on this album, they are now going to be in place. I think I'd heard many of these tunes, maybe even most of them, except there was one that ended up on this album, closing it out, something called The Lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a gentle waltz, and then it's Zombies or Ghosts or something after that. I don't recall that song being around before this album came out. Was that one that was written actually for this album?
Or? Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was one. I think there's only three songs that were not meant to be on that album. They were just re-recorded from my previous albums, and that's Shallows of the Sea, If You Hide Me Away, and Please Keep Me.
And that one was November's at
yeah.
one point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It still worked, but I think I remember knowing that that song was going to be on there, but not seeing it on the back and just realizing, okay, he changed it. But again, we're talking about these changes, and it's an incredible album that I hope, is this still available for people if they go to eva.com?
Or, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's not eva.com. Let's go ahead and jump into that part, where people can find you.
They can find me on evaandthevagabondtales.com.
Okay.
Or they could just Google my name, Eva Mikhailovna, or Google the band name, Eva and the Vagabond Tales.
There's Facebook, Instagram,
yeah.
you have a presence. Are you a tweeter?
I have it on my phone if my phone storage is not full.
Okay.
I usually end up having to delete
gotcha.
A lot of apps.
Sure, okay. So you can find Eva. And now, here's the thing. Eva, you play in a variety of settings under a variety of band names, Eva and the Vagabond Tales, the Peppermoons.
Mm-hmm.
There's more, I'm sure. You can be at Downtown Disney on a given night. So talk about the different bands that people can find you in. And talk about, okay, it's this one with this type of sound, or this one with this type of sound. Where people can generally catch you, whether it's a jazz thing versus a Western swing thing versus a, there it is, the folk sound one would hear sitting in a cafe in France, perhaps. That goes back to the way I first described you guys on a promo, I think.
Yes. That is my original music, Eva and the Vagabond Tales. But since the pandemic shut down some of the venues that we used to play at and booking shows got harder, I decided to get into jazz because that's where I got paid the most. And I started a swing band with my friend Mark Sanfilippo, and it's called the Peppermoons. And we started playing at a lot of dance venues where people come swing dancing, or just like a lot of vintage venues. So I have a swing band now, and from there I started a Western swing band with my husband, where it's more of like a honky-tonk Western sound, and that also is for swing dancers. From there, I also started my duo with my husband, which is all 1960s type of inspired duo harmony, like Everly Brothers type songs, and we're doing original music for that one.
And there's a version of Sealed with a Kiss. One of my favorite interviewees, I love Brian, he's a friend, and now and you're covering one of the best tunes of him. That's
yeah.
totally cool.
Yeah, well, Sealed with a Kiss. It's the first song we ever did together.
Oh, wow. That one, you can probably find that one if you go YouTubing or just go to Eva's Facebook page or something. When I heard it, I think you were in a car when you were singing it, the first recording that I caught of it. You two
yeah.
were in a car. And did that start to become a thing after a while, singing
yeah.
and recording in a car?
Yeah.
Is it still happening?
It's still happening.
Okay, is there a rhyme or reason to that, or just, okay, well, this will be cool?
We just lived far away from each other, and we would meet up halfway to go over songs, but now we live together because we're married, so we could just do the songs at home.
You just yeah. meet in the garage, and then there's the car. Okay.
Yeah.
Did we leave out any between the Peppermoons, even the Vagabond Tales? Eva at the club versus what you do at Downtown Disney?
A lot of times you can find most of my bands performing at the Downtown Disney stage, or you can find my duo performing at a lot of the hotels in the Disneyland Resort.
Okay. And now, once again, you mentioned evanthevagabondtales.com. Is there also peppermoons.com? There's a Eva, but not this type of Eva.com. And is there maybe even just one springboard for all of them? Take us through all of this, please.
It's evaandthevagabondtales.com. That's where everything is. I just post everything about my life there. Mostly I keep everyone updated on social media, like Instagram, of everything that I'm doing, because it's going to get very expensive to have a bunch of websites. But I'm just posting everything on evaandthevagabondtales.com for now until I decide what I'm going to do with the changes. It's all under my name, Eva Mikhailovna.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It's also a real kick to, officially there's not a band there, but sometimes you can see Eva and Coley playing together at a gig somewhere. And I remember recording, for example, well, you might have done, as a matter of fact, Sealed with a Kiss that night, but you also did sort of a country swing take on Careless Whisper, the George Michael tune, which I was have it recorded on my phone. I still have that. So that was a cool, fun thing. But I guess I don't want to say it's different each time, like you don't know what to expect, but there are a lot of different facets to Eva Mikhailovna and the many, many ways that we can find her music and the many places. She's just really all over the map. Eva, this has just been very, very just beyond special for me, you joining me for episode 600.
Congratulations on episode 600. That's a lot of shows.
Yeah, it has. And it's been a labor of love. It's been a labor of love, and I've been treated to a lot of wonderful, wonderful things along the way and met a lot of wonderful people along the way and a lot of beautiful, genuine friendships that I truly treasure.
Wow.
That have happened along with that. So
I'm so grateful to have been a part of so many shows and for this big 600.
Thank you again, Eva.
Be a cold, lonely summer, but I'll fill the emptiness. I'll send you all my dreams every day in a letter sealed with a kiss, sealed with a kiss, sealed with a kiss.
It's been music from and conversation with Eva Mikhailovna for KVCR's number 600. Checking out the variety of bands Eva presents and appears in, though once again you can follow and find out more at evaandthevagabondtales.com as well as Facebook and Instagram. And once again, Eva's been part of this program and a source of entertainment in the Inland Empire for quite some time, so once again, it was an honor to have her as the spotlight for show number 600. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again so much to Eva Mikhailovna and here at KVCR. Thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Adam Ruiz Rainey, Joel Morales, Jessica Greenwell, Chap Chipman, and Shireen Awad. Many past shows can be found through Spotify, iTunes, NPR One, or many other podcast sites, and most past shows can be found at kvcrnews.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts. Behind Us Now, for example, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well in pointing out what Eva said near the beginning of the program, the connection of Sean being on the program so many years ago that made Eva reach out in the first place. And I've enjoyed it immensely ever since. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support. Please give any time, day or night, at kvcrnews.org/support or call 877-512-8843. And again, thank you so much.